Welcome to the Profit Talks podcast, hosted by the Orange County Inland Empire SBDC Network, funded in part by the U.S. Small Business Administration and the California Office of the Small Business Advocate. This show is the go-to resource for business owners seeking empowerment, education, and resources to succeed. Join us as we connect you with experts, share the triumphs of fellow entrepreneurs, and reveal... In every show I do, I always say, this is a one-of-a-kind show. This is a one-of-a-kind product. But truthfully, today, I think that prophecy has come true because we have with us Victoria Wu from... You've heard about Spectacle of Wonder. This is not just an ordinary product. This is a wondrous spectacle here. It's print-on-demand digital art, where you take reimagined classic pieces of art, add humorous or whimsical elements into it, and then print this on what? T-shirts or coffee mugs or prints or whatever? Victoria Wu, you got to tell me more about this.
So we take reimagined art. So imagine you're Van Gogh with a Labrador Retriever.
Van Gogh with a Labrador Retriever. Okay, all right.
The girl with a pearl earring, kissing a cat or hanging out with cats. We've got Hokusai's Great Wave, but in the waves, there's flying whales and kind of mystical sea creatures. And so I imagine all this art, and then we print it on mugs, tote bags, pint glasses. So that's what the shop offers right now, reimagined classical art and print on demand. So there's another element.
Okay. As if that wasn't wild enough. Let's just stop there for one second. Sure. So you take a famous picture, I don't know, Van Gogh's Starry Night or something, a picture we have all seen a billion times here, or the Mona Lisa. There's even probably an easier image to picture here. And you put a mustache on the Mona Lisa, or you put a dog next to the Mona Lisa. You come up with some crazy, it's usually humorous or funny or unique, whimsical thing. So people do a double take. What is that? I thought that was the Mona Lisa. Why has she got a mustache on or something?
It's usually reimagined. So right. Even the Mona Lisa is not the original Mona Lisa. So it's everything's a little bit reimagined.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, we put a kind of whimsical, humorous bent on it. Something different. Like, for instance, Hopper's Nighthawks.
I love that, where they're all sitting at the diner and we're looking through the window. Edward Hopper's famous painting here.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. And so I've reimagined it to, instead of people at the diner, we've got a Hopper-style art going, but with cats sitting at the bar and hanging out with each other, the dogs sitting, and they're all sitting in solitude.
Yeah.
They're all together, but there's, you know, kind of friendship in solitude, right? You don't need to be talking to be hanging out and having a good time.
Right. That's the whole gist of that painting, watching these people all absorbed their own little worlds here. Nobody's talking to each other, looking at each other. It's late at night, and they're just all in the same location, but they're not interacting with one another. They probably don't even see one another. They're off in some dream world or thinking about something, you know. All right. I don't know how, before you tell me the other element, how in the world did you come up with this? Were you drinking heavily or under sedation? Or what would make you come up with this? It's almost like a hallucinogenic idea here. I'm going to take famous pieces of art and I'm going to alter them in a humorous way.
I love art. I've always loved art. I'm not an artist by trade. I've always loved art. And it seemed like such a fun idea.
It is when you think about it, but I don't know how you'd think about it. It wouldn't occur to me.
What if the Mona Lisa's doing something else?
Yeah.
What if animals invaded all of these classical paintings?
Yeah.
What if there's this whole different world that you could open up? And so that's what I thought of. And it always seemed like it would be such fun.
Now, did you ever test this on anybody, your friends, your family, your other coworkers, and you say, I got this idea, and people either went, what a cool idea, or they went, are you crazy?
It was hard to explain, right?
Yeah, I'm struggling.
Until you come up with the actual art itself,
right.
It's really difficult to explain to people. Like, you can say, oh, Mona Lisa with dogs, but yeah.
So what?
Exactly. It's a Mona Lisa with dogs. Okay.
Right.
So until I actually dreamed up the art, it was really difficult to really explain what I had in mind. So,
and you say you're not you'd have to be an artist of some kind.
So the other thing I am into is AI space and digital works. And so I have a background in Photoshop from my science background.
Okay.
And so
What did you do before this? What was your...
So I am a scientist. I'm still a scientist.
What?
And so that's the other aspect like to talk about. But so I did a lot of upscaling of images, of science images that we did in experiments. But I, and then with help from AI, particularly a program known as Midjourney.
Yeah, famous.
And it helps big program. Create your vision, and then Photoshop helps me refine what I think.
So what kind of scientist are you? Tell me what you do.
I am a molecular biologist by trade.
I'm a molecular biologist, okay, who's decided to have, is this going to be your full-time job or a part-time job on the side, the spectacle of wonder?
Right now, it's a side job,
right. But
it would be great if it would be a full-time job. I really wanted to be an artist when I was younger. With the Asian upbringing, that was just not something.
That was a little too frivolous. Come on, we got to get practical here. We got to make you a doctor or something here.
So the compromise, I ended up a scientist, right? Not the doctor, but a scientist. But I've always loved art. I wanted to do art. And if I could do this full time, that would be amazing.
That would be amazing.
That's a wonderful thing.
All right, so a molecular biologist has this wild imagination and this crazy dream to take classical pieces of art and add some element to it. And because you're not an artist and can't draw these in, you're using AI to create images and insert them into this. That alone is worth a discussion here. What is AI capable of? And I'll give you some background here. So in the SVDC's Digital Marketing Center, where I do some side, I have my full-time thing here, OC Talk Radio, and then I do some part-time work for the SVDC in their marketing center, mostly with podcasting. But they are really full bore into AI, into using artificial intelligence, these new model, these large language models, where they gather everything and then they synthesize it together and come up with something that you ask for, a picture, a song, a voice, a something. And the biggest impact seems to be on movies and podcasts, not just editing these things, but creating Coca-Cola. Famously, we're doing this at the winter of 2024, and Coca-Cola shocked the world by creating the first AI-generated commercial. No actors, no script. Maybe there's a script, but there's no actors, there's no set, there's no cameramen. It's all the characters, all the animation, everything in there is completely AI-generated. Two companies worked on it, and you either love it or hate it here. Is this the future of creativity? Is it a replacement for the great artists? Will the next Mona Lisa just be made digitally? Will there be no more Van Goghs? It'll just be a molecular biologist with a program who will next create the paintings that hang in the Louvre and the Museum of Modern Art? Or do you see this like you're doing? You take something and in an inspiration, a human inspiration, and turn it still into a creative outlet using these tools instead of having to spend years learning how to paint and do it. So you're still the creator, but you're using a different medium or a different method to create. What do you think?
So that is actually what I think is going on right now. I think there's this fear of AI will replace artists. It's going to take
musicians, filmmakers, everything. We're just going to push a button and it'll all spit it out, right?
And just to let everyone know, if you've never worked with Midjourney, it's not particularly smart a lot of times. it takes a lot of iterations and a lot of you nitpicking at it.
Yeah.
And then even then, I have to go back and fix a lot of the imagery myself.
Yes, so, because it can actually, they use this term, it can hallucinate itself. You can come up with something, and it comes up with something so off the wall, it looks like a hallucination. You like to have to reset it. No, you got it all wrong here.
Yeah, absolutely. It has to do that. It can't do a lot of things. Like, it's really good at, if you have a generic idea,
flushing it out.
Design, put these colors in. I want to see a girl in the background.
In this style, and it's got to be a rainy night, and the girl's got to be 20 years of age, and she's got to be dancing. The more detail you can add to it, the more efficient it becomes. And I've seen some startling examples of scenes and stuff. But does it have the creative spark, whatever you want to call that, to imagine? You can't just say, give me a piece of art reimagined, and it might come up with a dog and a thing. it would, if somebody else did it, it might see that and copy it, because it's really just collecting everything that's out there and then synthesizing it together into unique form. So in some ways it's creating, because it's coming up with a synthesis, but it, you still got to push the button and you got to give it the command. You still got to come up with the creative direction for it to follow here.
Absolutely. You must come up with the idea for it. So I don't think it's going to replace
people.
Your masterworks of art, because it can't. It's not, who knows, 20 years from now, we could be saying a different thing, right?
Right.
It's a different story. But as of right now, it's not possible. The artists are still the artists. They've got the creative spark. They've got the idea. I wouldn't consider myself a true artist either, right? Because I'm not doing the actual painting or drawings or designs. I'm taking an idea and reworking it. So I'm reimagining it. I'm making it funny.
You're like a hip-hop artist in a weird way, taking and sampling songs and turning them into some other beat and genre here.
That's a good analogy. Yeah, that's not bad.
You're sampling. All right, you had this wild idea. God knows where it came from, like any creative spark. Where did these things originate? But there was an underlying passion for art that had been suppressed. No, you got to do something serious. You're a molecular biologist. Doesn't go away. Because you're a scientist, you're more probably comfortable with tools like Midjourney or ChatGPT or any of these other big, large language models, these AI intelligent things here, and you come up with this idea. Now, that's pretty cool. I did it. How do you come up with the idea of print on demand and put it on things? Who, maybe people want to buy this and put it on their coffee mug or their T-shirt or something? Where does that come from? You could have just left it there and showed it to your friend and said, look what I did. Isn't that funny?
I wanted a mug.
You wanted it.
Like, I wanted a mug. I looked at these and I was like, you know what? I wouldn't mind having some mugs or a tote bag or something funny.
Right.
Like, it cheered me up. That would be really cool.
So and out of your own desire is born. Many businesses are born that way. I don't see anything like this. I'm going to create it. All right. So you looked into print on demand and the variety of print on demand services out there. There's a bunch of big ones. Why not just, so you went to the, what's it called? Etsy, E-T-S-Y, where you, they got millions of creators out there coming up with crazy little mugs and gifts and things you can't find. Most of them are artsy kind of things, but some of them are very creative kinds of things. I've bought stuff from there, prints or paintings or pieces or something, and I can't even describe what it is, stuff you would never imagine. It's very eclectic, oddball. Maybe oddball is a hard word, but it's stuff you would never see or find anywhere else. Very unique stuff, like you're talking about. It's a marketplace for this kind of stuff.
Exactly.
And you go and you order it, and then these people make the sign by hand, or they print the thing out, or they're producing this piece and they send it to you here.
Yeah, that's how it works. I like art. I'm a good scientist. I am not a good business person.
So how does that lead you to the SBDC, the purpose of the whole show here? Yeah.
Exactly.
So you're in Irvine. So which center did you go to?
I went to the Inland Empire one.
Oh, okay. That's way out there.
I called the number.
Right.
And that's how I ended up there. And at that point, I only had an idea.
Right.
Yeah. So when I called the SBDC, I was like, I have an idea. I don't have a shop. I've got no clue what to do. And they were great. They set me up with a consultant immediately. They were like, she's got a successful Etsy shop. This is the person you need to talk to. And
did you try going, because they have their own platform too, that calls small shop, small business or something. They're going to kill me.
No one suggested that.
They have their own thing that they're trying to develop too for art creators and stuff here too, that's similar to Etsy. You can get clothing, you can get, I don't know, paintings, you can get art, you can get all sorts of things. And I'll have to put you in touch with the person who runs that too.
Great.
I think it's Shop Small California or something like that. I'll have to go look it up here. Go look it up on the SBDC site.
Yeah.
So your consultant, did they have it? They didn't laugh at you and say, oh, come on, you got to be serious.
No, Rachel was great. She's been great.
Shout out to Rachel.
Rachel Jimenez.
Okay. Shout out to Rachel.
She's amazing. She's awesome. And I've talked to marketing people at SBDC as well. So they've been good too. Like everyone's been like great.
Okay.
And she walked me through how to set up the shop. She walked me through all the business licensing things I needed to do. The whole fictitious business thing. I had no idea that existed.
Was she familiar with this world of online printing and Etsy and online artists and all that stuff?
So she has an Etsy shop herself.
Oh,
So
that's what I was getting at.
He knew all the ins and outs, and that was great.
That's what I'm always amazed by the SBDC, and I'll just tout myself. If you want to know podcasting, I've been doing it for 15 years. They've got people who've been doing these things, 100-plus consultants, and they usually can zero in on somebody. If they don't know exactly what you're doing, they're pretty close, so they can find somebody who has more expertise in it. So you're not just talking to a generic, yeah, I've been in business. I had an ice cream shop or something, or I was a whatever. You're talking to somebody who probably has some direct knowledge about what you're doing and yeah, can mentor you and help you for free. That's the amazing thing.
It's been amazing. SBDC has been great.
So they walked you through the business part of it because you're a scientist. What do you know? You know, you're a scientist dreaming of being an artist, and now you got to be a business person on top of it. You got to wear three hats. You got to be the day-to-day scientist, and then the dreamer, and then the schemer, the business person. All right. How long has that journey taken you here? How long did it take you from ideation? Is that the right word? Coming up with an idea to iteration to actual launch and sales and product.
But sales are very sporadic. But, you know, given that within the 6-month timeline, I've really just been like getting things set up.
Right.
Figuring things out. So it's still a very large work in progress.
Who came up with the name? What a dramatic name. What a bold claim. This isn't just ordinaryart.com. This is Spectacle of Wonder.
So one thing about Etsy, because it's so crowded, names are hard to come by.
I'll bet.
So trying to find a unique name
that would jump out at you, that you'd say,
but wasn't taken.
Yeah.
Took some work, so it was a family affair. My husband and my kids, and we all kicked around names would be interesting, and we finally came up with Spectacle of Wonder.
It catches my ear. It catches my attention. What is a spectacle alone is? That's a spectacle. That's not just a fireworks. That's a spectacle, spectacular, and then a spectacle of wonder. That's like adding. Extra chocolate sauce onto. I don't know, coming up with a bad analogy, pouring butterscotch and then chocolate and four other layers of tasty stuff on top here. All right, so a 6-month journey, sales are sporadic. How do you market this? How do you get found? Is it just...
So that is the thing I am presently working on.
Yeah.
I'm not found a lot.
Because nobody's looking for it. It's not, let me go and find that reimagined art. I wouldn't even know. That's what Etsy is filled with. I've done deep dives into it, and I go, I would never have thought of that. How would I even know to look for that? I don't even know that exists. It never occurred to me that somebody makes that. So you really have to look into, and the categories are just broad art or whatever. How do you get found?
That I'm working on. I have a marketing consultant through SBDC.
Who are you working with on this?
Rachel Savoveda.
Okay. Rachel's great. Rachel's got a big background in big ad agencies and stuff here.
She's really been really good. I've been starting small, little steps.
If anybody can launch a product, it's Rachel, because she works with actually major brands, and her background is major, if I'm not mistaken, working for some big major ad agencies.
I know. I'm like tiny fish for her. She's been great.
Because she's got her own full-time ad agency now.
But, exactly. That's really presently the goal, is to get traffic, to work my way up, do all the social media things.
In fact, I think Rachel has her own brand of, scotch or whiskey or something. She has some product herself that she tries to market, not just marketing for others. She's an entrepreneur as well as an ad specialist here. So I'm just amazed. How did you find the SBDC? Did you just do research and come upon them? Did somebody suggest them to you? How did you?
It was super random. So I was looking, I was Googling grants, how to fund a new business, what did it even take to get started, right? And the SBDC popped up. And I was like, I've never heard of them.
I never. I still think it's the best kept secret. That's why we do this podcast, just to share stories, because it's nationwide. There's a region here in Orange County, Inland Empire, that has 100-plus consultants and, I don't know, 10 centers or something here, plus some specialty centers, finance center, contracting centers, other things, and then general centers. And out of all that, there's a huge mix of people that are ready to work. We get compensated through the SBA that funds the consultants and the work they do, but to the end consumer, it's free. It costs nothing, because the whole goal of the federal government is always to, under any administration, is to develop small businesses and to help launch businesses. And the only metrics they look for, the only thing they ask for, is they're trying to see, did you start a business? Did you grow a business and increase your sales, or did you increase your workforce? If you can demonstrate any of those things, then they go, check, we did our work here. And the SBA says, okay, good job, and we continue to get funded here. That's the only thing they'll always hit you up for when they go there. Give us some, it's not just, hey, I hope you do it next. They want to track your progress and see there. So they're really invested in you. Do they feel like they're sticking with you here?
They've been, everyone's been great. It's been really good.
So you've got a marketing consultant. Well, how could you do this otherwise? You've got a business consultant to teach you how to get set up in business. You got an online consultant to help you who has an Etsy shop, who can teach you the ins and outs of that. And then a marketing consultant on top to help you spread the word, go viral, get ads, whatever she can come up with here to tell your name. All that, you got a team. Normally, you have to either be that yourself or go hire all those different specialists to find them and hire them. I can't, every time I do one of these things, I say, that's the wildest idea I've heard of here yet. We've had some crazy ones out here, dog spas, mobile pet grooming things. We had somebody come on, she just started you glaze this pottery and then you hand paint it, and she fires it up at her shop. And so it's like kids make pottery and stuff here, and all sorts of very unusual dreams and ideas. And this, from a microbiologist, what does your family think about this? Are they finally saying, hooray, she gets to play this out? Or are they going, oh, I hope she just gives up this crazy idea and goes back to being a microbiologist here?
At this point, my family is like thinking this is a side hobby sort of thing.
She'll get it out of her system and then she'll go back to serious science here or something.
So they're not overly concerned about it at the moment.
But we're going to show them otherwise here.
One thing I would like to mention really quick,
because
of a science background. So the other thing I offer in my shop is reimagine science into art. So for instance, I have images of cells. Let's say they're fluorescent images of cells. You see the cell, you see the cytoskeleton, and then you can tweak that and the colors and the way the shapes of the cytoskeleton strands, you can work them into a piece of art. For instance, Monet's water lilies.
Okay.
Right? So the cell.
Trying to remember that picture. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Turn it into the strands into Monet's water lilies. So we do. I have that on my in my shop as well. Kind of science to art.
Science meets art. It's like when they take pictures of nebula, and they turn them into spectacular. They add color to them, and suddenly the nebula comes alive, and they show it in all these different spectrums and something here, and it's red and green and purple and everything
else
here.
Very similar kind of thing.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. You could get written up in something here. Somebody's going to catch this in some major publication or something, and they're going to say, check this out. Especially this time of year, gifts for Christmas and stuff. We're always looking for something unusual or different. You should go to I don't know if you're affiliated with any university, but like at UCI's, they have all these science centers and stuff here. You could make the t-shirts for them, or you could give, they're looking for something to give the students and the faculty and the whatever, the alumni and everything. If you could come up with something that had that kind of science meets art.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
Spectrum. I don't know. Just throw that out there for whatever it is. I'd love to hear more about the AR part of it, but our time is up. How do people reach you? How do they find you? How do they buy these things?
So my Etsy shop is Spectacle of Wonder.
So go to Etsy, ETSY.com. You'll see billions of these crazy creators. Crazy is probably a hard word, but it's wild stuff. And your shop is, you type in Spectacle of Wonder and you'll find your shop there.
Yep. And if we're looking for keywords, you can't remember that really long name, you can probably type in girl with a pearl earring and cat. I don't think there are or Mona Lisa with dogs.
Mona Lisa with dogs. Remember that one.
Pretty sure not a whole lot of Mona Lisas with dogs.
Probably not. Okay. It sounds like an idea whose time has come. I don't know why nobody thought of it beforehand, but maybe it's one more example of the power of this new medium. You don't have to have a palette and brushes. You don't have to have Adobe Photoshop and some other digital art tools, you can use a non-artist with an idea can use AI to now craft and create art and sell it on the internet to everybody and turn it into something tangible that gives people joy and puts a smile on their face. You put a smile on my face today here. What a wonderful thing. Victoria,
have a chance.
Oh my goodness, Victoria Wu, Spectacle of Wonder. I will definitely talk about this show to others, and I thank you again. Give us one more time. Is there anything other than Etsy, or just the Etsy site right now?
Well, right now, it's Etsy. That's all I've got the ability to handle at the moment.
Okay,
but hopefully,
yeah, could launch your own site, and because a lot of these people have stuff outside of it. They have a shop. They make wooden signs or something here, or custom things, custom crafted furniture or something, and then they sell through Etsy as another outlet, but you can always find them with their full range of products. I can see that as the next step here. You're going to have your own sight and sound here. All right. Thank you so much again, Victoria Wu, Spectacle of Wonder. Anybody who's wondering how to do it, call up Victoria. She'll tell you, or contact the SVDC, and they've got a team of people who won't laugh, who'll ride along and say, okay, that's what you want to do. Here's how to do it. Thanks so much for joining us here today.
Thank you so much for having me.
As we conclude another episode of the Profit Talks podcast, we hope we've empowered your entrepreneurial spirit. Reach out to us to connect with our experts, and let's take your business to the next level. Keep those dreams alive, keep pushing forward, and stay tuned for more. And if you liked what you heard in today's podcast and you want your business to reach new heights, just contact us at profittalkspodcast.org or call us at 1-800-616-7232. That's 1-800-616-7232. So until next time, keep thriving.